Hello and welcome, my friend, to the Minnesota Gardening Podcast. It is my absolute honor to have you here with us today, where we talk about gardening here in Minnesota in the upper Midwest landscape, focusing on feeding pollinators, eliminating chemicals, and saving water. And so today we have another great episode for you with Michelle Riedel. She is a master gardener, and you may have seen her on Care 11 or other places talking about the art of winter sowing. And so winter sowing is a really great cheap method. This episode could save you thousands of dollars on plant material, depending on what kind of project you're working on. But Michelle is a master at winter sowing and getting plants to grow over the winter months and start sprouting in the spring, and does just an amazing job of explaining exactly how it works and what you need to know for winter sowing. So here's our episode with Michelle Riedel on winter sowing. And make sure to stick around to the end, where we have a really special announcement just for you. Hello and welcome, everyone, to the Minnesota Gardening Podcast. I'm honored today to have another really great guest who you may have seen teaching about winter sowing somewhere in the metro here, but Michelle is just an awesome resource for winter sowing. And so today we are going to talk about how to take seeds and plant them during the winter months and have them start growing in the spring, specifically for around native plants. And you can do this for a lot of different things, and we'll get into that. But Michelle, it is great to have you here with us today.
Thank you, Brad. Welcome. And very welcome to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, awesome. So I didn't say your full name, and I'm sorry about that. Michelle Merrill Riedel wears a lot of different hats throughout, with photography and with being a master gardener in Washington County. And could you just introduce yourself a little bit, Michelle, and tell people what you like to do?
Yes, I am a writer and photographer for Northern Gardener Magazine, and I love doing that. In 2024, I'll have an article in every issue of the magazine, and I love to photograph people and plants.
Beautiful. That is good. I didn't realize that.
And one more thing. I live in Oakdale.
Awesome. So you are newly zone 5A, or are you outside of the 5A bubble?
I'm inside.
I don't know Washington County well enough to know exactly where everything lies. We're in Shakopee. We are too. So it is very good. We just recorded an episode with Mary Shear talking about the hardiness zones. So it was really great. So yes, People can go back a couple episodes and listen to that. So with this today, we want to talk about winter sowing. And so, Michelle, how did you get into winter sowing? What was your path to liking this?
I started about 14 years ago, and my front yard was re-landscaped. I was provided more garden area than I had envisioned, and I was sort of a little overwhelmed because I needed a lot of plants to put in. I wanted a pollinator garden, and that's kind of how I started winter sowing perennials, because a friend of mine showed me her winter sowing results, and they were just fantastic. And I was pretty much sold on the method, and after growing perennials, then I started growing annuals, herbs, and veggies using the same method, and in the spring. And the year after, I was teaching how to. That's
beautiful.
How sold I was.
Wonderful. Good. So what is the learning curve on winter sowing? Is it an easy thing that everybody can do, or is it a difficult thing that takes a while to learn?
Wow, that's a really good question. I know that some people have not had success with it. Some people have been just brilliant at it the first time. I think it kind of depends upon, you know, what kind of seeds that you might start with. But I think it's really easy. You know, first year is definitely a learning curve, what worked, what didn't work. And, you know, if you really are interested in growing plants, seriously interested in growing your own plants, you can make it work.
Yeah, I definitely agree that it's on the easy side, especially the getting seeds started side. So that's a very good thing to do. So let's take our listeners like to have kind of step-by-step organizing principles on how to do things. So if you, Michelle, could take us through step-by-step, like how winter sowing is, what tools you need, those kinds of things. So let's start with the preparation side of things. What kind of things do people need for winter sowing?
Well, most important is the container. And this is a good time to get started on them. It is the end of December. And collecting containers, you just have to remember, if you have to be able to get a hole in the bottom of the container, and you have to have room for soil and room for the plant to grow. So lots and lots of container choices. I know a lot of people like to use 2-liter pot containers. That is not my favorite because the bottom and the plastic is very hard and I can't get a knife in there. So if I do need help with that, my husband will usually drill a hole for me. Another great container is the poultry rotisserie containers. Those are perfect. There's lots of room for the plant to grow. But my absolute favorite is the gallon size water or milk containers.
The okay.
Plastic is very pliable, easy to get holes into the bottom, lots and lots of room for soil, lots of room for the plant to grow. It already has a hole in the top of it, and it's just absolute perfect. And if anybody's having difficulty finding gallon size containers, find somebody that you know who has a big family or somebody who maybe runs a daycare. I know I have been to local coffee shops. They are very willing to give containers away so that they don't have to recycle them. And then you can also even buy, you know, gallon of distilled water at the grocery store. That's pretty inexpensive.
And Michelle, I apologize. I should have started this a little differently. So that's great on the tools and what people need for it. But can you talk first about like why winter sowing is important and people should do it? Like what's the point? Like what's the reasoning of doing winter sowing as opposed to just tossing some seeds in the ground in the spring?
Well, I think it's mainly just to save money. For me, that's why I got into it. And I think getting seeds is really important. You know, you kind of have to decide like what kind of seeds do you want? Do you want to do perennials, annuals, veggies, herbs? Could pretty much do anything of that. Well, purpose of it is just being able to garden in the wintertime, being able to control how your plants grow versus in the ground. You know, because you've got them completely, you've got your plants as they're germinating completely contained. You've got your seeds completely contained. You don't have to worry about critters getting into your plants, critters eating your seeds. And it's just really having full control. And perennials work best for this method, especially in the winter. And it's springtime when you start your other seeds.
Perfect. And what time of year is the best time for doing winter sowing?
Perennials, January, February, up until about mid-March. And then usually end of March into April is when I will start my annuals, vegetables, and herbs. So I'll start my annuals that can handle some fairly cold temperatures. I'll start those first along with my herbs. I'll even start my cool season vegetables at the end of March into early April. And then I'll wait to do my warm season vegetables, like the tropical vegetables, like beans and eggplant and peppers and tomatoes, more like mid-April. Because one thing that's sort of tricky about it that we can get into later is when the temperatures warm up, the seeds start to germinate, and then Mother Nature can kind of throw a loop into the whole process and give us some really cold temperatures down into the teens and the 20s in April when we've got tomatoes started and growing. They're not going to make it. So
they don't like that
much. No, that's the whole tricky part is just getting the time. You have to be really watching the weather. You have to know your highs. You have to know your lows. So if it's too hot, you might want to move and you've got germination going. You might want to move your containers into maybe just getting morning and part afternoon shade. If it's too cold, you might want to bring them into the garage or bring them into your house.
Right.
Very, very tricky. Once germination starts, it's really tricky.
So we'll get into that part in just a little bit. I'll back. We've got a milk jug. What kind of soil do we use?
Any kind of soil, potting soil. Don't use garden soil. Just use potting soil or potting mix.
And we've got the holes in the bottom. So do we need to worry about putting anything in to help with drainage, or we just roll with it from there?
Holes in the bottom. In a milk carton, for example, I might put in 3 or 4 half-inch holes, quarter-of-an-inch holes around there. So some of the tools that we probably should talk about is a knife would be nice, a package knife, like a X-Acto knife, utility knife, a scissors, potting soil, seeds, water, and duct tape. If you're Yeah. If you're working with a container that needs to be cut with a horizontal line in the middle of it, you're going to need duct tape to put it back together versus a rotisserie chicken or turkey container that you already, you know, is already separated.
And so with a milk jug, do you just cut it in half, or what's the best way to get that started?
Yes. So you're going to cut a horizontal line with your utility knife from one side of the handle to the other, about 3 to 5 inches from the bottom of the milk jug. So you kind of want to leave about a 1-inch hinge at the handle so that you can just pull it back. And it's just easier to work with if you keep it attached, the top and the bottom attached.
Perfect. Yep. So you got the milk jug cut in half, and we've got some good mm-hmm. soil in there. How much soil do you put in?
I like to have about 3 inches, 3 to 4 inches is fine. I know like a rotisserie chicken container and some of like the other like takeout bakery type containers, you can only get like an inch and a half or 2 inches in there, and that's fine.
Perfect. So
you can work with an inch of soil, you can work with 4 inches of soil, whatever your container will allow.
And then this is where I always get confused, so I'm really happy you're here to help us with this, is that when it comes to our seeds that we're putting in, how many seeds do you put in? Like what is the plan? Like how much do you put in, and how do you handle that piece?
Okay. Before the seeds go on the soil has to be really wet. So I want to make sure that your listeners know that. So you can either wet your soil, put it into the container, or put your soil into the container and then wet it. And then the seeds go on top. And I, for perennial seeds, for annuals, and for herbs, I oversow everything. So I do not have a single problem putting in 50 to 100 seeds into a container.
Oh, wow.
Yep. I'll just put in as many as I can, especially if I'm collecting them from my gardens, collecting seeds from my garden the previous season, I am going to overseed because I don't really care. I have a lot of seeds. I don't know what's going to germinate. I trust packaged seeds more than I do collecting seeds. And just like I'll put an entire package of perennial seeds into one container, especially if maybe there's like 20 to 30 seeds, I'll just put them all in.
Okay, that's good to know.
Overseeding makes it very easy to divide, and we can talk more about that. Having a lot of roots makes the plants very easy to divide.
Okay.
And you're not dividing them. Like one seed, in winter sowing, one seed does not equal one plant. Many seeds equals one plant.
And why is that?
Because it's easier to divide them. When you take them out of the container, having a mat of plants and a grouping of lots and lots of roots so that you don't even have any soil when you lift that out of the container. And then you just kind of like rip them into individual plants, as many as you need. Does that make
sense? Oh, yeah, that totally makes sense.
So, So you've got one big cluster. It's very root bound. And you plant that in the ground, and that cluster of plants and seeds becomes one plant.
Okay. Yep. Totally understand that now. So after you put the seeds in, what is, mm-hmm. so you've got them, the wet, muddy soil, you put the mm-hmm. seeds in, and then what happens next?
And then you add more soil. And then on top, and if you have, let's say, for example, your seeds are 1/8 of an inch long, you're going to put about 1/8 of an inch of soil on top. Seeds are 1/4 of an inch, put 1/4 of an inch of soil. But it doesn't really matter. It's, you know, even if you put in 1/4 of an inch on a tiny, tiny seed that you can barely even see, it will still germinate and find the surface. And then you'll need a water, a spritz of water to kind of wet down the soil that is surrounding the seed. I don't like to, you know, pour water on top because I don't want the soil. I don't want the seeds to end up showing. So you have to be kind of gentle with adding water once you add the seeds.
And I've always had a problem. I'm pretty bad at that. When I've done it before as well, like all the seeds have ended up on like one side of the milk jug as opposed to being spread out through the whole thing because I've watered it a little too aggressively.
Correct.
What's next?
Okay, after that, then I like to add a label inside. I'm I'll say what it is, how high it's going, or what the height, the final height will be of the plant, and what color it is, and how much light it needs.
And what do you like to use for labels?
I like to buy mini blinds and cut them up.
No way. I've never heard of that before.
Oh, yes. I'll go to the store. Usually Menards is probably my favorite store, and just buy the absolute cheapest vinyl blind that I can have. And I separate all the rope and the string and anything else that comes with it. And then I just cut about 4-inch pieces. So wow. I'm going to, you know, out of one mini blind, I'm going to get, you know, over 100 labels. But I'm also growing seeds for garden clubs to sell, garden clubs that I belong to sell. So I do need a lot of plant labels.
Absolutely. So do you use Sharpie on them, or what's your best way?
I use an environmental marker.
What does that mean?
If you go to any garden center and just ask them for an outside or an environmental marker, they will show you where to find it. A Sharpie only lasts one season. And if I'm growing perennials, which is fine if I'm just growing vegetables for one season, but if I'm growing annuals and I want to know what I've planted for many years, an environmental marker is the way to go.
That's great to know. Yeah, my first year I used Sharpie on the outside of the milk jugs and the containers and everything. And by spring, I had absolutely no idea what anything was. So it was just a big guess. Sad.
Yes. There, you know, when you go to the store, don't pick up just one. Don't pick up just one. Buy a couple.
That is a great tip for there. So I'll make sure to grab one of those so we can work with it from there. Yes.
So the next step. I'm assuming that you want the next step, correct?
Yep, for sure.
Okay. So the next step after putting a label inside, then I'm going to close the cover and I'm going to put duct tape around it. I like to work with 2 12-inch pieces of duct tape if I'm working with a milk or water container. And I'll start at the handle and about a foot will get me about halfway. And then I'll take the other piece of duct tape and put it to the other handle. So it's completely closed up. And take the cap off that gets disposed of, because you're not creating an enclosed greenhouse. You are kind of creating a greenhouse with a chimney. You want water and you want snow. You want the elements to get into it, into the container. And I think that's one of the things that people forget the most, is that they think it has to be an enclosed container, and it does not. And that's what fails.
Yeah, that is good to know. Perfect. So you've got everything all wrapped up. Like, how many, Michelle, of these do you do every winter season?
I will probably, for my perennials, I'll probably do about 40 of them, 40 containers.
Wow.
And for annuals, maybe about 30 vegetables, 20, and maybe 10 or a dozen herbs.
We will come back to that in just a little bit. I'd like to know what are your favorite things to grow and things, but now that you've got everything all closed up, what do you do with it for the remainder of the season? What's a good environment for it to live in?
Great question. Before I put it outside, I'm going to also label the top. Because you can't see the label inside, especially if it's like a milk carton, you know, because they're kind of opaque, which is okay. You can still grow plants in an opaque container. And I want to see what's inside, especially I want to see once germination occurs, I want to know what's inside. And it's just very, very exciting once you start getting plant babies. After that, so let's say it's January, February, March, and I've got perennials or native perennials inside my containers, I'm going to put them outside. And I like to put them out so that they're going to get all day sun. And you can put them anywhere you want. And I like to keep them kind of clustered together so that I don't like to have like one off kind of by itself, because the wind can take it. So have kind of clustering them together works really well. I have a large garden cart that I will try to get as many perennials inside of it as I can, because it also makes it very easy if I ever have to move them.
Right. For sure.
Having them on wheels.
So how does that work, like, once it gets to springtime, when we have seasons that start to warm up, and especially as weird as our weather is being lately, like, let's say in March, we get hot. And then, like you're talking about earlier, it gets cool again or cold mm-hmm. again in April. Like, what happens? Like, what are the concerns about winter sowing? Is everything going to be fine dealing with that? Or what's the best way specifically with things, perennials and that kind of stuff, not things that you would be planting later?
Mm-hmm. Well, for perennials, it won't matter because they can handle the cold and they can handle the warm. And if they start to germinate and we get really cold, they will survive, because think about the perennials that emerged from the garden and we get some snow and or even just some really cold weather, they will be able to handle it, which is why this method is absolutely perfect for growing natives and perennials. It's beautiful. Just for it. Yes. It doesn't make any sense to grow perennials indoors under grow lights. You know, save that room for your annuals, veggies and herbs.
Right. So what are your favorite things to do, or what are the, maybe not necessarily your favorite, but what are the best things if someone were starting out? What are two or three perennials and two or three herbs and vegetables and that kind of thing that would be good to use this method as a ramp in?
Okay. I can tell you what I grow every year. One plant that I grow every year is butterfly weed, which is a native, and it germinates very well. I also grow a lot of milkweed because that sells really well at my garden club sales. And another perennial that I grow every year is lupins. They germinate. It's probably the one plant that germinates first, and it grows very fast. And by the time the plant sale is before Memorial Day, you've got, you know, 4 or 5 inch perennial plants that are, you know, really easy for my garden clubs to sell. So those are some of my favorite perennials. I also like to grow some of my couple cool season vegetables that I grow. Well, I grow kale every year. I grow it ornamentally and also for eating. Also carrots. I know a lot of people say don't use this method for growing vegetables that start underground, but you're just starting plants. You're not growing plants in the container. So easy to start carrots, Swiss chard, lettuce is great. Annuals, I grow zinnias every year, lots and lots of different kinds of zinnias. I also grow sunflowers. Those I usually start later in April because they grow so fast. And, you know, within 3 weeks, they can be out the milk container. So it's not something you have to start right away.
Yeah.
And for herbs, you know, lavender, mint, parsley, basil, the usuals.
So what do you do, Michelle, so let's take your lupins, for example, that you're growing. Yes. After they are germinated and it is, you know, April 15th and everybody's happy and they're ready to get planted. How should people handle them? Do they need to divide them and put them into other containers to grow out a little further, or should they plant them right in the ground? What's the best way?
Great question. I usually start dividing plants in May. I've never divided in April. And I like to keep my plants inside the containers for as long as possible. I know a lot of people who try this method, they're so anxious to divide and get them out of the container. But one thing nice about being inside the container is that you don't have to worry about rabbits or deer eating your tender little plants, because, you know, at rabbits, they love those early, early leaves. Keep them inside the container as long as you possibly can. And once I'm ready to, once I see them maybe even starting to head out of the top, you know, they're ready. And once you even can see lots and lots of roots along the outside, you know, seeing through along the outside, it's time. And so what I'll do is I'll remove the duct tape. I'll cut some holes in the side so that I can just kind of like get my hands in there and get them out. And when I pick that big cluster out, it is like one big, huge plant. And so then I'll just, you know, a milk carton, I can get like maybe like 9 plants, maybe 12, 16, however many plants I need. And I will start dividing them. And I like to put them in smaller containers and allow them to grow even further before I put them in the garden. The garden soil is a little cool, is still cool, and I want them to grow fast. So planting them in smaller pots is great. I can put them up on my deck so I know that the critters aren't going to get to them. I try not to put any plants on the ground. I also have some shelving units, outside shelving units that I'll put them on just to kind of keep them safe and until I'm ready to put them in the ground, which is usually in June.
So what do you do with smaller, like a lot of perennials and native plants and stuff like that won't have very established like tops? Like they grow roots first and then the leaves, they're a little slower in getting those. So do you plant those all right in the spring, or do you hold them over for a season and try and water them and plant them in the fall? Or what do you like to do?
Usually by the end of June, I'll have everything in the ground, because I know that there are some perennials that don't even germinate until mid-May. And so you kind of have to be patient with this method, and you have to know, you know, once you do it a lot, you'll know what are plants that are going to germinate early and what are ones that are going to be really delayed. And I'll give them until, you know, June. And once June comes and there's nothing in there, I'm going to, you know, reuse the soil. But I'm patient, and if they're really small, I'll wait till the end of June, and then I'll just put them in the garden then.
That is great. Mm-hmm. Michelle, this has been absolutely wonderful, and I just really appreciate you taking your time coming here. We're bumping up against the end of our time today. What haven't I asked you yet that you want to make sure that people know about?
Would they be interested in learning more next in January? I'm teaching a class through the Minnesota State Horticulture Society, and I believe you have the information there if you want to share it.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll put it in the show notes for everybody. And okay, can you tell people what that is?
Yes, it's all about winter sowing. It will be the Horticulture Society doesn't use Zoom, but it will be an online workshop. You'll be able to see me live. I will have a PowerPoint presentation, and I may do a demonstration about how to plant. And it's about, I think, an hour and a half class. And it's actually part one of part two, because then they are asking me back in May, and I will be heading into their offices and showing how to, you know, what we just talked about, dividing, when to divide, how to divide, and show the audience how to deal with the plants in May.
Awesome. That is exciting. And this is just such a wonderful way for people to economically get more plants and to reuse plastic containers and all those kinds of things. So it's a really, really great way for people to learn. So Michelle, thank you so much for sharing your knowledge with everyone. And where are the best places for people to find you?
Find me.
Like if they want to get in touch about anything or follow you on Instagram and that kind of thing and your beautiful photos.
Oh, thank you. On Instagram, I'm Rydell Photo.
Perfect. I'll put that in the show notes as well. Awesome. Well, Michelle, thank you so much for being with us today and just sharing about winter sowing and just how great it is for folks and just your extremely awesome experience with it. So thank you so much for being here.
And I appreciate you asking me and sharing this wonderful method of growing seeds with your audience.
Beautiful. Thanks, Michelle. Have a wonderful rest of your day.
Thank you.
See what I mean? Michelle was so great, even though I was a basket case on some points of the interview and I kept losing my track on things. But I hope you got the gist of it and learned exactly how to do winter sowing at your home this winter. So if you want to learn more, you can head over to the show notes at minnesotagardening.com. And while you're there, you should RSVP, because we are having the first of four seasonal workshops that are free and live and open to everyone on January 10th, 2024. So our first workshop is our winter workshop, and we're going to be talking all about winter sowing, take you through the process of how to do it. The only things you really need for it, if you want to follow along, is a milk jug, some scissors, some soil, and some seeds. And so luckily enough for our Minnesota Gardening Club members, if you watch your mail the first week of January, you will get the winter newsletter in the mail. And in there will be a packet of seeds. It's Liatris seeds that we Minnesota Gardening Club purchased for you from the extraordinary folks at Prairie Moon. And they're just so awesome. And so I'm really excited to go through this process with you and share everything that we've got and hope to see you on January 10th. So again, go to minnesotagardening.com and click on events. And it is a free event open to everyone. You can just RSVP right there. And I will see you on January 10th. Thank you.